Well, this morning we're going to look at the God of all comfort from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, where the Apostle Paul writes these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." The word comfort comes from the Greek word paraklesis, and it means to call someone alongside and encourage and put your arms around them and let them know how much you appreciate them. Sometimes this word is translated encouragement. And this verse is closely associated with the mercies of God, with feelings of mercy toward others. And God certainly feels mercy toward us. And because He is the God of all comfort, because He is the Father of mercies, He reaches out to comfort us in the difficult times that we have within our lives. And so the implication here is that a person is in a circumstance where mercy or comfort is warranted. In this context, Paul is speaking specifically of tribulations or afflictions that result from being a Christian. These troubles might come from one's family or one's friends because one is living a Christian life, and they might be opposed to Christianity. Could also come from maybe government opposition, or even as the Bible teaches, as we talk about so often, from the devil, from Satan himself, stirring up difficulties and troubles in our lives. Well, what is our attitude when we find ourselves afflicted? Do we want comfort, or do we love being miserable? You know, comfort is something that can be provided only if I desire that comfort, only if I want that comfort. If somebody comes up to me and tries to comfort me and I say, no, no, please don't. You see, you can reject comfort from others, and you can reject comfort from God also. God's comfort only comes to those who willingly desire that comfort and who want that comfort and who will receive that comfort within their lives. This is not some mysterious thing that we're talking about. You know, it's not talking about, well, I'm afflicted and I want God to comfort me, so God comfort me right now. That's not how it works. It's not some kind of strange feeling or phenomena that comes upon you. Comfort comes as a result of our desiring it and doing the right things within our lives. You know, I've seen God's comfort work in various different circumstances. And when my grandmother lost her husband back in the late 80s, and we went up there and I sat down with her and talked to her a little bit, she wanted to talk to me. She had questions for me. And I cited to her a particular verse in the Bible, John chapter 5, verse 25 and following, where Jesus says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation." And years later, when I was visiting with her, she said those words comforted her more than any other words that were spoken to her upon her husband's death. That's God's comfort working in someone's life because they are willing to receive it. Those same words could be spoken to another and be rejected and hated and vilified. Why, do you know what that preacher told to me when I was lost my spouse or my loved one? He quoted the Bible. It depends on our attitude as to how we're going to receive comfort. Will we receive the comfort that God offers, or will we reject it? You know, God is the God of all comfort. That's what the Bible says. It teaches that. But how can I receive that comfort? That's what I would like for us to talk about this morning. God is the God of all comfort, first of all, when we listen to Him. We must listen to God and His Word in order for us to receive that comfort. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." God's comfort comes to those who believe in Him and trust Him and put their faith in Him. But we won't have that comfort unless we listen to His Word. Do you remember Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 through 27, where Jesus tells the parable of the two builders, one wise and one foolish? The wise man built his house upon the rock, but the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The waves and the wind came and struck both of those houses. The wise man's house stood, but the foolish man's house collapsed. And what did Jesus say was the lesson from that parable? He says, the wise man is the one who hears and does these words that I am speaking. The foolish hears but doesn't do. We can hear all day long, but if we're not willing to do, God is not going to comfort us. James 1 verse 19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." We need to be ready to listen to God and listen to our brethren. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." How can I have God's comfort? By listening to Him, by listening to others, and by examining my own life, listening to myself, if you will, in the sense of looking at my life and asking, am I doing what the Lord wants? 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" And Philippians 2 and verse 12 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We've got to listen to God and we've got to obey Him. And when we listen, God will comfort us. But then second, God comforts us when we pray. You know, the Bible says that prayer takes care of anxiety that's within our lives. If we truly believe that God will work for us, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And we will receive the peace of God when we pray to Him about things for which we are anxious. In 1 Peter 5 and verses 6 and 7, Peter writes, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." God loves us and cares for us and wants us to be comforted. Will we put our care on Him? We must pray if we want God to help us and to comfort us. Prayer helps by taking care of spiritual needs. Think about James chapter 5 and verse 16. This brings so much comfort to those who take advantage of it. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." There's a tremendous amount of comfort that comes from talking to someone about the sins in your life and praying for forgiveness for those sins. Such relief and comfort abounds when we follow God's word in that regard. Prayer will help us to do the Lord's work. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, "Then He said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. If there are spiritual needs for which we need comfort, prayer will help us. And prayer helps us in our relationships with one another. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul asked for the prayers of the church there so that he might advance the gospel and improve relationships between mankind forever. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run and swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Prayer will help us to have good relationships with others as we advance the gospel in our lives. And the church prayed for Peter in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5 when he had been put into prison. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And God answered those prayers, delivered Peter from prison, and the church was greatly comforted. We gain comfort when we pray. God is the God of all comfort when we listen, the God of all comfort when we pray. And God comforts us when we work. You know, work comforts a lot of people. It comforts our families first and foremost. In Ephesians 4, verse 28, it says, "Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." We work to take care of our own needs and then to provide for others. And first of all, for our own. That's what 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 tells us. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And so work comforts us. It comforts ourselves, it comforts our families, and this is God's plan for us to work. If we want God's comfort, then we need to get to work. But work also comforts God's people. In 1 Thessalonians 1, in verses 2 and 3, we read this, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." It is comforting to hear of a church that is doing the Lord's work. It is comforting to hear that those missionaries are going out into the world and preaching the gospel in places where the gospel is needed. It is comforting to know that God's will is being pursued by others than just yourselves alone. That's what Paul is talking about here when he praises the church at Thessalonica for their great work of faith and their labor of love. That is comforting, knowing that others are doing what the Lord wants us to do. In Colossians 4 and verse 12, here was a specific brother who provided comfort by doing the Lord's work. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Here was a man who was working hard for the church at Colossae, praying for that church, expending time and effort in order to support that church. And that is something that we can be involved in as well. We can be greatly comforted knowing that there are brothers and sisters out there working in the local congregation to help and support the great work that God wants us to do. So work comforts God's people. And work comforts us when we do that work as we serve the Lord. Now think about this for a minute. In Colossians 3, in verses 23 and 24, we read, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. This is a great verse to remind us that work for the Lord comforts us. Now, I'm not talking about the Lord's work per se, but I'm talking about working, doing your work, your job, whatever you do when you go out into the world and work from Monday through Friday or Saturday or whatever it is that you do. That work is for the Lord. And when we think of it that way, it is comforting to us, knowing that God sees and God knows and He appreciates what it is that we are doing to work. That is a comforting thought. And God will comfort us when we work. But finally, God will comfort us when we love one another. Loving God gives us comfort, first and foremost. Look at Psalm 70 in verse 4. It says, "Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified." Now here is a picture of great comfort. But this comfort comes when we love God, when we love His salvation, and when we say to the Lord, "Let God be magnified," we will rejoice in Him. That is comforting, knowing that God loves us, that He has done great things for us, and that He is going to provide. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, we read, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." When we love God and remember the great things that He has prepared for us, that comforts us more than anything. And it reminds us of what Paul said also, what he wrote also in Romans chapter 8, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. When we love God, we find great comfort in Him. And we find great comfort in loving our neighbor also. Think about Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. "Oh, no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law." Loving is something that we owe others because God has loved us. And so we go out and we love. James says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. Now think about that for a minute. It is comforting when we know we are doing what is right. And that's what James is telling us here. When we go out and we love our neighbor, be encouraged to know, be comforted to know that you are doing well. Love comforts. And loving our brothers and sisters in Christ comforts us also. 1 John 2 and verse 10 says, "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." Have you ever been tripped? Have you ever been walking along and somebody stick out their leg and you fall over it and fall face first on the concrete or on the asphalt or somewhere like that? That's not very comforting, is it? Well, spiritually speaking, putting a stumbling block in front of our brother is not comforting either. What should we do? We should abide in the light. That brings great comfort. That brings great aid. That brings great help, you see. And when we love one another, we know that we are of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4 and verse 7. We gain comfort when we love. God is the God of all comfort. But He's not going to comfort us in some mysterious way. He's not going to cause us to feel something different when we feel really bad. What is He going to do? He's going to comfort us when we listen to Him. He's going to comfort us when we pray. He's going to comfort us when we work. And He's going to comfort us when we love one another. You can have God's comfort in your life today. Perhaps you've been rebelling against that comfort and thinking, I can do everything on my own. I don't need God. How's that been working out for you? Well, this morning, maybe you realize you need to make a change. We had a brother come in a couple of weeks ago who had been in and out of jail, done all the sins that you can think imaginable, and a brother in Christ came to him and said, well, have you thought about becoming a Christian? Have you thought about living for the Lord? And he had never tried that, and he said, well, it can't be any worse than what I've already done. And so he did become a Christian, and it's the greatest thing that ever happened to him. And he changed his life, and now he's directing a home that's changing other men's lives. See, God's Word is powerful. And his life is full of more comfort now than it ever has been because he started following the Lord. Perhaps you need to get on that path this morning. And through hearing God's Word, listening, believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized, you can begin a life of comfort, of God's comfort. Not that you won't suffer some afflictions. Not that there won't be problems. Not that there isn't going to be some trouble along the way. But when that comes, God will comfort you as we live for Him. Why not become a child of God this morning and experience the true comfort of the Lord? While together we stand and while we sing.